Blog Talk Radio.
This week's edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, a law enforcement and private security association since 2002. And we are celebrating, we're actually, for the last 15 years, really been going strong. And we have really expanded our wings, and we're going to be talking more about that in the next couple of weeks. We really want to drill down into what POI is all about and why we're so excited to be going into this new 2020 year. But we do want to welcome you. We've got a lot of things that we need to talk about, of course, as always. You know, here in the public safety security arena, we've got a lot of negative going on out there, a lot of negative against law enforcement and those who wear the uniform and the badge. But we're so happy to be able to come across good news whenever it happens. And right off the bat this morning, before we really get into any serious news and tell you about all the mayhem and death and injuries, I want to tell you about this security officer that we came across and how he really made a difference. And a lot of people, some people didn't even know that he had been involved, but this is really quite a story, and it just shows how one person really can make a difference. In Branson, Missouri this week, at the Cox Medical Center, a security officer was on patrol. He discovered an incident in the parking lot that many would have just made a written report and gone about their business. But Dave Jones couldn't do that. Dave Jones discovered that somebody had come along there in the parking lot at the hospital and let the air out of the tires of multiple vehicles. Now, at first, he did go into the office to get a camera and to make a report, but then he said he got to thinking. He started thinking about not only the vehicles, but the people who drove those vehicles to the hospital, some possibly visitors, some might have been patients. He started thinking about how this was going to affect them and how when they came out, how this would be alarming and to some more than an inconvenience because some people might not have been able to afford to get those tires repaired. And I am just elated to say that he just didn't stand back and say, oh, well, it's not me. I don't have to worry about it. It's not my car. He decided to go to O'Reilly's Auto Parts He got some valve cords and valve tools, and he went back to the parking lot and he repaired every flattened tire. He fixed those tires. He pumped up those tires. He repaired the valves. He secured the tire so it would not go flat again. And he did it with his own money. He said, actually, some of the victims of the vandalism didn't even realize what happened at all. It wasn't for glory. It wasn't for recognition. It wasn't to get a promotion or a pay raise because, you know, actually, no one really knew what was happening for the longest time. He just did it because he felt that it was the right thing to do. You see, we have many people in this profession. You see it across social media and even in the local news these days, how law enforcement and private security are making a difference, how they are showing empathy, and how they are becoming more involved. And not only the enforcement of the law and the policies, but in people's problems. And although that's not the main focus or job or duty of law enforcement or private security, it is part of just the everyday helping your neighbor kind of thing that goes back 100 years or more. I'm old enough now to remember those days. And to remember how neighbor helped neighbor and how people who didn't know one another came together for a common cause. Whether that was to raise a barn, to build a farmer's barn so he could get the hay in, or to help them when they had some type of distress. I can remember my own growing up days when neighbors would help others shovel the snow because the neighbor was elderly, or maybe they were out of town when a big snowstorm hit. And so this story in Branson, Missouri just really shows, it just highlights how many security and public safety officers and law enforcement officers are out there to help everyone. And I Dave Jones, I really want to say that you are a fine example of this profession and of just being a good human being. And we will definitely be recognizing him with an award. Also this week, coming out of Oklahoma, not too far away from Branson, Missouri, a school security officer, not an SRO, but an actual school security officer, found out that a person who was sitting alone did not have the money to pay for lunch that day. Whatever happened, the parents forgot to give it to him or didn't have it to give it to him. And the security officer bought lunch and sat down next to him. And they shared a lunch together and talked about sports and different things. Again, just a small act of kindness makes a huge difference these days. And I want to challenge you, because we have a community project that we started in September. We want to make a difference in our community. So I challenge you to come up with ideas of how we can reach out, whether that be to assist the injured police and firefighters in your community and security officers, or maybe help the homeless or the food banks. Send an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We want to make a difference in our communities. And every day, private security and law enforcement do make that difference. This week, we want to salute all of the veterans. Monday, of course, November the 11th, is going to be Veterans Day, and we definitely want to recognize and not forget all of the veterans, those who have gone before us, those who are out serving today in our military, and those who have given the ultimate sacrifice, dying on the battlefield. November 11th, there are many restaurants who are giving away free meals and discounts, and there are many other companies who are also recognizing the veterans. And so we salute all of you for stepping up and helping to protect this great nation. We have a lot of news. We want to definitely get into this armored truck security increase in attacks and ambush and talk about that. We released a news article yesterday about all of the attacks in the last just 10 days. One armored car security officer dead, one shot, five different armored trucks attacked. We'll be talking more about that coming up here in a few minutes. We want to welcome you again to the Private Officer Beat Radio. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, like I said, so much to talk about. And of course, we're moving in to the holiday season. And every year, crime spikes between now and January the 5th. We're going to be talking about that as well. Don't go away. Coming right back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Human trafficking is slavery.
And it happens all over America.
Any child, any woman, any man could potentially become a victim of human trafficking.
I am a victim of labor trafficking.
I was victim of child sex trafficking, but now I own my body.
Human trafficking is any kind of forced labor.
It can happen to anybody.
I am a mother.
I am an author.
I am a son.
I'm an advocate.
I am an educator.
I'm a sister.
I am a brother.
I'm so much more than what happened to me.
I am strong.
I am brave.
I am outspoken.
I am compassionate.
I am a survivor.
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 I am a survivor of human trafficking.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now don't go away, because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
More than 114,000 people are waiting on an organ transplant at any given time in the U.S., and at least 80% of those are waiting for a kidney.
For kidneys, it largely defaults to waiting time, but for livers, hearts, and lungs, it's largely based on the degree of illness and how sick someone is. And that defines their priority on the waiting list.
Dr. Charles Rosen, director of the Transplant Center at Mayo Clinic, says living donors can help save people waiting for a kidney or a liver, but those waiting for other organs, unfortunately, have to wait for a deceased donor. Dr. Rosen says if you're interested in saving another person's life with your organs after you die, it's important to sign up as a donor now while you're still alive to save your family from having to make a difficult decision at a difficult time.
We've heard from donor families or potential donor families that decided not to donate because it was such a stressful time in their lives that then 3-6 months later they felt some remorse for not doing that.
For the Mayo Clinic News Network, I'm...
By now, if you are living in the Northeast or Midwest, you are well aware that winter has arrived in your area. Here in North Carolina, temperatures dropping down into the mid-20s, and in the mountains, down in the teens with snow beginning to fall. If you're living in the cold areas, you know that this time of year can be very dangerous for working outside. And we have to be prepared. We are the type of people, we're in the profession where we just can't sit around indoors. We can't be where it's warm all the time. We're working out in inclement weather, whether that be freezing rain, sleet, or snow, and icy conditions. Corey Harstad, president of Haven Security and Investigations in Des Moines, Iowa, knows that oh too well because it's already been snowing in Des Moines, and he and his employees are out in the cold. Now, they have a few tips for you, and we want to make sure that we're all really well prepared for being out in the weather this time of year. So remember, Haven Security and Investigation recommends that, of course, we dress in layers. We got to dress in layers to beat the cold. Layers is better than if you just put on one big, thick, heavy jacket, because sometimes when you're working, especially if you are running or doing any type of physical labor with a big, heavy jacket on, it'll cause you actually to sweat. And that's really a problem, because as you sweat and get cold, it could cause really severe medical conditions, including hypothermia. Be sure to dress in layers to beat the cold. Remember to use ideal materials for winter clothing. Don't wear thin layered. Don't wear clothing meant for summer. Don't wear clothing meant for being out running during, you know, when you're exercising. You want to make sure you have the right materials for winter clothing. Be sure to cover up the core body. It's very important to make sure that you really insulate the organs, the heart, the liver, the lungs. We want to make sure that all of our body core functions is kept warm. And remember, the head, they say you lose heat out of the head, and that's true. Head and face, whether that be by putting on a hat or a ski mask or some other type of covering that's going to take care of protecting your face and your head. Remember, our hands, frostbite, especially when you are out in a wet environment, it doesn't take long for frostbite to set in. It doesn't take long for you to get hypothermia. Another area that people don't really consider as much as they should is the feet. Feet is very important. Make sure that you have insulated boots or heavy boots on. Don't go out in lightweight shoes, sneakers, and get involved in walking through snow or wet, because it doesn't take long for your feet to become saturated. And that, again, can be a very potentially life-threatening situation if you were to get hypothermia. Remember, dress in layers, cover up the core of the body, make sure that you have good covering on the head and face, legs, hands, and feet. And one other mention, talking here about winter and protecting yourself and being prepared, make sure that your vehicle is winterized, whether that be your patrol vehicle or your personal vehicle. Make sure that you either have snow chains or snow tires. And also, there's a few things that you really need to keep in your vehicle during this time of year. If you're in an area where it snows or there's a chance of ice, freezing rain, make sure that you have a shovel and some type of sand, sawdust, or even kitty litter can work. Make sure you have that in the vehicle. That way, if you get stuck in your vehicle, you're on ice, you can use it for traction. Always keep a blanket in the vehicle. You never know, you might break down, or you might even come upon an emergency where you need to get out and help that person and it's cold. And you want to make sure that you cover them up to prevent hypothermia, to keep that body warmth intact. Pack a couple of energy bars just in case you do break down, or you're out working and you just see to be a little sluggish and maybe you need a little pick-me-up. Energy bars can do the trick. And of course, always have flares in the vehicle. This has been brought to you by Haven Security and Investigations of Des Moines, Iowa. Corey says, when you dress right, when you dress warm, when you prepare, you can tackle all of the duties of a public safety or security officer without the threat of being injured yourself. All right, we have other things that we really need to get to as well. This week has been a very busy, busy week, not only in the news, but for us here at Private Officer. We mentioned before the last break that we are working on getting more involved in community and making sure that we really are out there doing our fair share of being involved in our communities. And we really encourage you to send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com and give us a heads up. What do you think we should be involved in? We are involved in already Crime Stoppers, maybe getting involved in food banks or other ways of assisting injured law enforcement, firefighters, EMS, security in your neighborhood. We're talking about your neighborhood, so we're taking it down to your community. Send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We often talk about this time of year that crime increases. There is such a thing as seasonal crime. This time of year, you're going to get a lot more auto thefts, robberies, larcenies and thefts at the businesses, home burglaries. It's really a time of year when people take advantage of folks who might have a little extra money, people that might be out Christmas shopping, grocery shopping. And so we want you to be on high alert, of course, and make sure that you are really on your toes, that you have 360 situational awareness, not only for yourself, but also so that you're able to respond if somebody else falls victim. Now, just this week, within the last 24 hours, a security officer in Miami, Florida, was unarmed, working at a hotel under construction, under renovation, and he became a victim of a robbery, an armed robbery. He was shot several times. He's in critical and grave condition right now. We were told that he was unarmed and in his 70s. Not exactly a situation that you would even put a young man, an armed, in. Unfortunately, according to officers, the suspect may have snuck onto the property. He may not, the security officer may not have been aware of it. And he was attacked, ambushed, robbed, and then shot for a gold Nicholas. We have to be on our feet, on our toes at all times, but especially here during the holidays. As security, public safety, and law enforcement, we never know who's out to harm us. In fact, here in Charlotte yesterday, a news photographer out taking some video of a scene was attacked for no reason, by a perpetrator that they didn't know, had no conversation, no interaction with, and they came out of nowhere and punched the photographer in the face. He quickly gathered his equipment and began moving toward his vehicle, and the suspect continued to pound on him for no reason. So, again, you just never, never know what people are thinking. And these days, there are many folks out there under the influence of both drugs and alcohol, and we just have to be on our toes at all times. Private Officer International is really excited to announce a brand new documentary that we're doing, Evolution of Private Security. And we ask you, if you have any news stories or videos, photos of the security industry from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000, 2010, please send them to helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. The Evolution of Private Security, a documentary. Really, a lot of folks don't understand how this industry has progressed and how the security officer who was at a guard shack drinking coffee and reading the newspaper at 2 a.m. back in the 60s and 70s is now the proactive community protector, and how they oftentimes are really doing community policing. If you have materials that you'd like to share with us so that we can include this in the documentary, please send it to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. This week, we're honoring several people, as we often do. And I do want to remind you, if you have any employees that have assisted in a life-saving event or apprehension of a suspect or anything that is noteworthy, we want to honor that person and award them for their diligent work, for their bravery, for their life-saving skills. So this week we are honoring Officer Tony DeMail of the Franklin Police Department. for saving a life while on patrol. He came upon a vehicle that was stopped on the side of the road. A person was having a heart attack. He brought the person out onto the pavement, performed life-saving skills. He brought that person back to life. By the time EMS arrived on the scene, all they had to do was transport. Great job, Officer DeMail. Police Officer Deanna Chance of the Wadesboro, North Carolina Police. We awarded her this week an award for life-saving after she took a small child there who was having difficulties and performed life-saving skills on that child at the school where she's an SRO. Officer Chance is really a fine example of law enforcement today. And so we presented a life-saving award to her. Amy Dawes, we have presented an award to her that she is more than deserving, a meritorious award for assisting police in the apprehension of several robbery suspects, and just a great job overall. And Officer, Security Officer Alvin Anthony of Hollywood, California, again, assisted in the apprehension of suspects, helped in an incident that occurred in that area, and we presented him with an award as well. We want to recognize you and your staff. Be sure to contact us here at helpdesk@privateofficer.com so that we can. Before we head off to our next little break, we want to remind you, if you need protective wear, body armor, be sure to contact Body Armor USA. We've got what it takes to protect you. We'll be right back after these messages.
At Armor College, a public safety institute, we train those who help others. Paramedics and emergency medical technicians, firefighters, police officers, law enforcement, private security, bail enforcement, and those on the front line. Check us out today at armorcollege.org. A-R-M-O-U-R, college.org. We'll even bring the school to you. Armor College, a public safety institute.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us to stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us, all of us,
to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
This week, we've got a lot of breaking news, just like we always do. Go to our website today at privateofficer.org. Sign up for breaking news, Officer Down reports. There's no cost. privateofficer.org. In Shrewsbury, Pennsylvania, police called to a Walmart for a shoplifting incident. Actually arrested several people on carjacking charges. Nicole Robin Johnson, 37, of Curtis Bay, Maryland, and Patrick Allen Goodlow, 40, of Rockville, Maryland, Amanda Lee Greenfield of Annapolis, Maryland, and Brooke Ashley Clues, all charged with organized retail theft, conspiracy to commit retail theft, and two of those also charged with robbery and carjacking. Coming out of Long Island, New York this week, a federal raid
conducted by federal agents on a Long Island security tech firm. They arrested the owners and other executives amid a fraud. This company sold very specialized security equipment to the U.S. They said it was U.S. made, but it actually was made in China, which opened up security risks to the U.S. because it could have been loaded with spyware and other security software that would allow China to figure out what we were doing. And obviously not a good situation. FBI arrested the company owners and executives. In Greenwood Village, Denver, Colorado, an armored vehicle security officer who was robbed at gunpoint last month was fired. Sabrina Gamino said Brink's armored car fired her after the robbery on some technicality. Three heavily armed men robbed the armored car at gunpoint, made her get onto the ground. She has hired a lawyer, and we're going to see what happens. An off-duty New Jersey security officer has been beaten to death. Irvington, New Jersey police say that several men chased down the off-duty security officer while he was walking in Irvington. They attacked him, and police say that he succumbed to his injury. Samuel Gopto was a security officer at Newark Airport, and he died from complications of blunt trauma. Police are still looking for the suspects. In Clayton County, North Carolina, teenagers in custody after shooting a movie set security officer. This is actually Clayton County, Georgia. Police there say that Zajon Ties, 18, was arrested for shooting a security officer on a film set. He also is charged with a murder that happened the day after that. A police officer in Rochester, New York, accidentally shot himself in his vehicle, causing it to go off road, and he died. Rochester police officer Manuel Manny Ortez, 52, was found in his SUV dead of a gunshot wound. Police say the bullet struck an artery in his leg and he was dead within moments. Ortiz is a 20-plus year veteran of the force. In Costa Mesa, California, police there arrested Michelle Brianna Hughes, 30, taken into custody for portraying a police officer in a marked 2016 Chevy Impala with a life bar and on the side, law enforcement. She was wearing a tactical vest that said police. Unsure. She said she was a security guard. Unsure who she really worked for, but definitely not law enforcement. A man in Ohio was taken into custody after threatening to shoot a security church security officer in Youngstown. Police received a call at a church that Braylon Barnes, 28, was trespassing and refused to leave the property. When security tried to escort him off the property, he threatened to shoot them. He was taken into custody on a number of charges and was later released. Dayton Police Detective Jorge Del Rio was shot during a warrant service. He was 55 years old. The detective with the Dayton Police Department is survived by his wife, daughters, multiple grandchildren. He will be laid to rest later next week. He was part of a DEA task force. In Fayetteville, North Carolina, police there say a man who was being taken to a hospital, Cape Fear Valley Hospital, tried to take the police officer's gun. A struggle ensued right there at the hospital, and the deputy sheriff shot and killed the suspect. Longtime Dallas Morning News security officer who was there for many years, Thomas Tim Ellison, suddenly passed away. All who knew him, employees, friends, those who worked in and around Mr. Ellison, said he was quite the man. Ellison, 56, passed away of natural causes. In Dover, Tennessee, authorities there are quite surprised when a man armed with an axe walked into the county courthouse and into the judge's private chambers and threatened him. Deputies and courthouse security was able to quickly take the man into custody. They say Michael DuPont, 46, has been charged with trespassing, possessing a weapon, disorderly conduct, and drug possession. Still, they don't know how he was able to get into the judge's private chambers. In Alabama, a high school security officer was acquitted of a serious assault of a student, John Phillips, 36, who was indicted on felony assault charges after slamming a student to the ground. He has been found not guilty, acquitted. In Hawaii, a woman apprehended by Macy's store security for stealing more than $1,000 worth of merchandise assaulted the loss prevention agents and threatened them. Cheris Cozy, 26, has been charged with second-degree and third-degree assault and larceny as well. Also in retail, a man who had been apprehended by a Sam's Club security officer and off-duty police officer working security is now suing the store, the police officer, and the security officer for false arrest. After they accused him of shoplifting, the man said that he was not guilty. Charges were later dropped, and he is now suing. In San Antonio, Texas, a Walmart parking lot became the scene of a police killing after they were called about a sexual assault in progress. Police arrived to find the man, the suspect, sexually assaulting a person inside a vehicle. Police say that he pulled a gun on officers and was shot and killed. No names have been released just yet. A private security officer has been found guilty after having sex with a patient at a sex offender treatment program. Court records say that Claudia Kogo, 57, was sentenced to jail and 5 years of supervised probation. Pontiac, Michigan authorities are a little concerned because they say a downtown uniformed Pontiac security officer dressed too much like them, wearing body armor, a full duty belt, and a uniform. The security officer has been hired by a group of business owners to patrol and respond to their stores, as well as to monitor 160 security cameras that's around the downtown area. Police say that he acts a little bit too much like law enforcement and accuse him of trying to impersonate law enforcement, although Oakland County DA says there's no charge, nothing, no information to substantiate that charge, and therefore no arrest was made. Video shows Carr, the security officer, running to and fro from the businesses, but really nothing that would indicate that he is trying to act like a police officer. A school security guard is under arrest in Georgia after she chest bumped and interfered with police officers trying to arrest somebody at a high school. The security officer assigned to that high school actually interfered in the arrest. Police do not understand the reasoning behind it. Inja Nellums, a female security officer, has been charged with police assault and interfering in the Clay County school arrest. She is being held on a bond for a preliminary November 11th hearing. In Pineville, North Carolina, a suburb of Charlotte, North Carolina, police responding to a shoplifting at the Carolina Place Mall actually found a jar disguised. It was a jar that was disguised as a pasta jar, pasta sauce jar, actually full of meth. Police made arrests there and confiscated numerous drugs. In Tempe, Arizona, police have arrested the security Brinks employee for theft of $1.2 million after the driver, Edwin Johnny Villa, a Brinks security employee, took off with an armored car there and was caught several days later. Always a lot of breaking news here on the Private Officer Beat Radio, and we've got a whole lot more. Be sure to sign up for breaking news when it happens and Officer Down reports at privateofficer.org. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got a whole lot more to talk about. Coming right back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
You're on your way to meet up with friends, but you can't seem to get anywhere quickly. You don't want your friends to be annoyed, so you text. You're on your way. Five seconds is the average time your eyes are off the road while texting while driving. Make sure you...
Today, for a few moments, we want to talk about a very important topic. Unfortunately, during the last almost 16 years of this organization's life, we have been able to collect substantial data and statistics during the years through our news and analysis unit that spends their day 16 hours a day going through current news events relating to private security, law enforcement, and public safety, collecting and analyzing data and statistics. And today, we know without a shadow of the doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, no, there's not even one iota. There is no possible other time in our history when security officers have been injured or killed in the line of duty more than today, current time. And now we know that there are five most dangerous interactions with the public. Five times that security officers and public safety put themselves directly in harm's way. These five times, these five situations, these five categories, if you will, have become the most dangerous times of interactions with the public. We have also narrowed down the time through our statistical data and analysis of the information, the facts, the stats. We have narrowed down the times in the day, and there's more than one, when security officers, that includes loss prevention and retail, that includes uniform physical security, and that includes private police. The most dangerous hours in the day when injuries and deaths of our officers occur. And let me tell you, let me be clear with this statement. Although these are the times when you are most prone to be injured, the fact is every person wearing a uniform and a badge, every person whose job it is to uphold the law, the rules, to apprehend suspects, faces injuries and deaths 24/7. And although we're being specific today with the times of the day and with the specific interactions when officers are injured the most, the fact is, and you know, and I know, it can happen anytime. It doesn't have to be any specific hour, afternoon, evening, morning, it could be any time. And that's the facts.
It is a dangerous time that we're living in. A dangerous and violent time for those trying to serve and protect, those trying to do the right thing, those trying to uphold the law, the rules of the property. It's dangerous. And yet many, they just don't understand how dangerous it is. Many still do not take their job serious. Many companies still do not want to be honest and recognize the facts and prepare their officers for what potentially could be a violent confrontation, an armed confrontation, an assault, an injury, or worse, a death. So let me first start by saying that the most dangerous hours of the day, when security officers, both plainclothes and in uniform, are injured, through our data analysis, over a 15-year period, we have narrowed down the hours first during the daytime of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Data specifically calls this out, identifies it as a six-hour block when you are more likely to be injured or killed in the line of duty. And during our analysis, we found the specific reasons why. Number one, security officers during the day are no longer sitting at the gatehouse at a factory, no longer at an industrial plant, sitting doing access control, reading the newspaper. No. Most security officers during the day are assigned to hospitals, college campuses, elementary and high schools, shopping centers, retail stores, and areas where there's high traffic from the public, both pedestrian and vehicle traffic moving in and out, the flow of traffic, the flow of people going to and fro. In the normal course of business, people working, students hopefully learning, people going to and from point A and point B. Security officers are more than likely going to be injured between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. in the retail environment, stopping shoplifters. During this time, many professional shoplifters enter retail establishments not expecting crowds, not expecting there to be too many employees on the floor. And what does this do? It gives them more opportunity to steal larger quantities of merchandise without being interfered with, without being spotted by either a shopper or an employee, and it gives them the opportunity, especially in the organized real retail crime area, it gives them the opportunity to go undetected. But there is someone who is watching 9 times out of 10, and that's loss prevention and retail agents who monitor their every move and at some point make an attempt to make an apprehension. And during the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., retail loss prevention officers are injured more than any other time during the day. In the heavier times of shopping, weekends, early evenings, there's more people on the floor and there's more employees on the floor. But stores understaff during the early morning hours and during the first few days of the week when shopping volumes are the lowest. We also found that security officers are injured during the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. in schools, high schools, and on the secondary college level as well. It's during these hours that students are in class. They're not there at 4 p.m. They're not there at 8 p.m. They're not there at 1 a.m. But they are there between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Now, usually between 0800 and 1000 hours, there's not a lot of movement of students within the schools. They are usually in homeroom or moving across into a secondary classroom. Not a lot of free time. Not a lot of other extracurricular activity happening during those few hours. However, between the hours of 10 p.m. and 4 p.m. at school, students begin to not only change classes, they have lunch break, they have other things happening. Sometimes they leave campus during those hours for lunch when they're not authorized. There's a lot of interaction in the hallways between security and students because they're not where they're supposed to be. They're not in class. They're out loitering. They're out roaming the halls where they're not supposed to be. So we often see school security officers intervene to enforce the rules and the policies of the school and get into scuffles trying to prevent students from either leaving the property or from assaulting security. So we see a lot of activity during the 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. hours at schools as well. We see a lot of activity between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. as a whole in the business community, whether that be a business office complex, a hospital, because people are out in the normal travels of their day. Either they're working or they're a customer or they are a visitor to the property, and therefore you have a lot more person-on-person contact, more interactions with the public, and that's why between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., more security officers are injured or killed during these hours. The other block of time that we've seen, and we can drill down and know that these are dangerous hours for private security and private law enforcement, is between the hours of 11 p.m. and 4 a.m. 11 p.m. and 4 a.m. These are the hours when there's not a lot of activity. These are the hours when security officers who might be patrolling large complexes, industrial parks, apartments, and other private property are involved and engaged in enforcing the law, enforcing the company or the property policy, and also investigating suspicious activity and being called to investigate suspicious persons or crimes that are occurring on the property. Between the hours of 11 p.m. and 4 a.m., during these hours, we see a high number of security officers killed because, as we've mentioned many times before, they are alone, they are unarmed, and they have a lack of two-way radio communication or backup to help them when they are confronting someone. And so oftentimes we see these officers being injured critically. We see these officers being killed during the 11 p.m., 2300 hours and 0400 hours. And this is not just occasionally. These are the most highest numbers of security officers who are killed during these hours across the board in the last 16 years that we have been taking and collecting data and statistics. There are five most dangerous interactions with the public. And while these may sound very simple and obvious, they're not. Because if they were, companies would train specifically on how to be more cautious and how to be more safe when operating within these five areas where security, public safety, and private police are killed, injured the most. Number one, as with law enforcement, whenever you are stopping a person to detain or arrest them, you are in a critical environment where they might resist or try to flee or injure or kill you so that they're not arrested or detained. There are many, and I want to say contrary to the belief of the public and the media, there are many security officers who make apprehensions, detentions, and whether it's private person arrest or private police arrest every day by the thousands. We tell you all the time, Hayes International out of Florida, which collects all the data on loss prevention, organized retail crimes, and the apprehensions and detentions and recovery statistics, they every year put out the numbers of detentions. People who were physically detained or arrested by security for not only shoplifting, but professional theft, burglary, fraud, credit card theft, so on and so forth. Every year, loss prevention and retail agents apprehend more than 1.3 million people just in this arena alone, retail crimes. Uniformed security make another 900,000 to a million arrests, detentions every year. So when you are taking the freedom of somebody away, when you are putting somebody in a position where they no longer have the right to leave, this is a very dangerous situation for the uniformed officer, the loss prevention agent, when they are detaining or arresting someone. Number two, and this also, by the way, includes questioning. When you're trying to question a person, when you're trying to identify a person, this is dangerous. And that's number two, questioning or identifying a person. If you stop a person on your property and you ask them, hey, do you live here? Do you have some identification? You're detaining them in a way. They're feeling threatened, like they're about to be arrested. And if they are up to no good, then obviously they're going to be doing whatever it takes to get the heck out of Dodge. Questioning or identifying a person can be as dangerous as if you're detaining or trying to arrest a person. So number two, identifying and questioning a person, highly dangerous, highly dangerous. Number three, when you are approaching a vehicle, whether that be a suspicious vehicle, a vehicle that has been burning out rubber on the property, a vehicle who just happens to be sitting there for days, a vehicle that you see someplace that they don't seem to belong, they're out of place. When you approach a vehicle or you are conducting a private property traffic stop, which is allowed in many areas, and many security officers do conduct traffic stops for speeding, reckless driving, and other violations, especially in areas like HOAs, homeowner associations, condominiums, apartments, and other private property. When you are stopping and conducting a traffic stop, or you are approaching a vehicle that's parked, it's a very dangerous situation. Again, you don't know who's in the vehicle. You don't know who's driving. You don't know what they've just done. You don't know if they're wanted. You don't know if they're a felon. You don't know if they're armed. You don't know them, period. And I don't know how many times I've seen both law enforcement and private security approaching a vehicle like that just so nonchalantly, like, hey, how's it going? You can't do that these days. You always have to be of the mindset that this might be a wanted felon, that this might be an armed subject, that this might be someone who wants to injure and do harm to you. Approaching a vehicle is serious business. Don't do it. Don't do it unless you have immediate backup to a radio, something there with you to help protect you should things go south. We are always approaching vehicles. Even if we're in a, quote, observe and report mode, we're always approaching a vehicle to see, hey, is this vehicle supposed to be on this property? Did somebody leave their vehicle behind? Is this a vehicle that might be needing to be towed because it's abandoned? So we're always, always approaching vehicles. Number four, trespassers. Again, this is one of those, like number two, questioning identifying a person. We have a lot of trespassers on our property. I would say that's one of the areas of violations that security officers deal with more frequently than others, whether that be at a shopping mall, at an apartment, at a office complex, whatever it might be. We have trespassers who don't belong on the property, and oftentimes we have to, you know, suggest that they leave, and sometimes we have to detain them and charge them criminally with trespassing. This is definitely a very serious time when something bad could happen to you. And unfortunately, many people just don't think of it. And number five, I've saved the most serious for last, and that's crimes in progress. We often respond to crimes in progress. If you're at a shopping mall, you're going to be the first one dispatched to a robbery at that jewelry store where they just smashed the glass cases with hammers. You're going to be the first one dispatched when somebody's purse has been snatched in the parking lot. If you're on patrol at an apartment complex or an HOA or a housing project, again, you're probably going to be the first person on scene. You're going to be the first person being told about it. You're going to be the first person who's going to be searching for the suspects. Crimes in progress is extremely, extremely dangerous for private security and private police because, like I had said earlier, most security officers do not have two-way radio. Most security officers do not have immediate backup with them. They're usually working one-man patrols, one-man posts, one-man, one-man, one-man. It's almost a crime in itself for some security companies to staff certain properties where there's a high propensity of crime when they know that it's a violent place, a violent apartment complex, a violent shopping center, and yet they put an unarmed security officer all by himself. That should be a crime in itself. Crimes in progress, extremely dangerous. Make sure that when you are responding to a crime in progress, that if you're all by yourself, you notify 911. Let them know you've just got a report of a robbery, a shooting, whatever it might be. Tell them the address. Tell them that you're responding. Tell them that you're armed, unarmed, in uniform, not in uniform. The more information that you give them, the better they'll be able to respond adequately with the right manpower to the right location to assist you so that you are not injured or killed while responding to that crime. Again, the top five most dangerous interactions: detentions and arrest of a person, questioning and identifying a person, approaching vehicles, whether that be on a traffic stop or just a vehicle that looks suspicious parked in the parking lot, trespassers, and crimes in progress. These are the five most dangerous interactions with the public that anybody could have, whether it's law enforcement or private security. And the two segment of time, the hours that are most dangerous for injuries and deaths, is 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Usually, this is going to be especially in schools, retail environments, and any place where there's a high volume of public interaction, and 11 p.m. and 4 a.m. in the morning, 2300-0400, the most dangerous times on the clock. But remember, there really is no 100% guarantee that any hour, any minute is safe. You always have to do the right things, be prepared, have good situational awareness, and know, hey, there are times when you're alone and you need to back out of the situation and get back up there. And we tell you all the time, make sure if it looks like it's too big to handle, there's no shame in backing out and calling 911. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Private Officer Beat. Remember, Frontline Protectors coming up first of the year. Frontline Protectors, a great series that's going to really highlight both private and public law enforcement and private security, protecting their community and our country while putting their own life on the line. And also another series in production, Gone but not forgotten, where we highlight fallen officers in the line of duty. Until the next time, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you right back here on the radio.